Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
So I say like the psalmist David, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you, that I may not doubt you nor second guess you. No, Lord, I trust you. So tonight, Lord, we're asking you, Father, to cause your word, your truth, your spiritual truth to flow from me with accuracy and precision. And then that you release an anointing upon all of us so that we can hear what you're saying to us with accuracy and precision. Not so much my voice, but we hear your voice. What you're speaking to us in this season in our lives, what you're saying to us and where you want us to grow, how you want us to develop, how you're equipping us, how you're empowering us, and how you are elevating us for this time. So we could give you praise, glory, and honor for it all being done for your glory. In Jesus' name, all God's people say amen. Come on, open your Bibles with me to Luke 17. Luke 17. Last Thursday, I shared pertaining to a teaching on offense. And I said that on Thursdays, I will teach on that because, you know, I've been teaching our group about developing faith to be fruitful. And the thing that can stop you or hinder you from being fruitful, one of the things is that the adversary will cause you to become offended, cause you to carry offense. He wants to use offense to wound you. He wants to use offense to cripple your faith. He wants to use offense to derail you off your destiny. He wants you to become offended at somebody, at something in your life, or even become offended at God so that now you'll become disillusioned about what God wants to do in your life. So we looked at something last week. I want us to look at something else this week. I'm going to use the same title. We'll use this as part two of last week's. And we entitled it, Becoming Offended Will Rob You of God's Best. Becoming Offended Will Rob You of God's Best. Look at Luke 17. We'll start here and use this as our launching pad scripture, and then I'll go back over some of the scriptures we looked at last week. Verse 1, of course, I'm reading from the King James Bible. You follow along in whatever translation you have. It says this in verse 1, Luke 17. Then said Jesus, unto the disciples. So this is a teaching moment. Now listen, if it was a teaching moment for the disciples back then it's also a teaching moment for Jesus' disciples, you and I, now. Amen. He said unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Wow. Excuse me. But woe unto him through whom they come. Now that's a wow moment, but it's also a woe moment. In other words, he's telling us something that we got to prepare ourselves for and build our spirits up and build our spiritual resilience so that we won't become easily offended. And then at the same time, he warns, the one who brings an offense and causes it, he says, woe unto them. There's a warning for them. So that lets you know to be encouraged. So you can't sit there and think that somebody is just doing you wrong and you're like a carpet. They're walking over you. No, God never told you to become anybody's carpet. Or somebody just going to do you wrong and they think that they can do me any kind of way. No, God will never let that happen. You got to see this. Now, I'm going to share my screen just to show you something real quick before I continue. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, the New King James Version of verse 1. We're just going to look at verse 1 on the PowerPoint, and then we'll go back to the lesson. Luke 17 and 1 from the New King James Version, it says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they come. So what the Bible reveals, dear hearts, look at this now. The Bible reveals that it is not a question of if an offense will come. Are you with me? He's letting you know that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And when it comes, you have to know how to respond. Okay? When the opportunity to become offended presents itself, how will you respond? So let me remind you of something. The word offense means to cause to feel upset. It means to be annoyed. It means to feel or become resentful. The word offense can also mean to be displeased. You can be displeased with someone, displeased about something, or to be upset, to be distressed, or even to be hurt. Now, why is this so important for us to learn this? Because the Bible says that opportunities to become offended will come. You have to know how to respond so that you don't give in to the offense. Offended people, look at that at the bottom of the screen. Offended people produce much fruit, such as, this is the fruit. When people become offended, this is what they produce in their lives and through their lives. They produce fruit such as hurt, anger, outrage, jealousy, resentment, strife, bitterness, hatred, and envy. Some of the consequences of picking up an offense are insults, attacks, being wounded, excuse me. Division takes place between two parties. Separation takes place in relationships. Or broken relationships is a result of an offense. Betrayal or even backsliding. So I want you to get this in your heart about this offense business, because there are many people who think, when I say people, I'm talking about Christians, who think it may seem harmless to become, excuse me, offended. But offense damages lives and damages relationships. Now, let me show you one more page before we stop sharing. Look at this. A lot of Christians believe that carrying an offense is a normal way of life. You better get this, dear hearts. They think carrying something, it's okay. It's not okay in the kingdom of God. See, watch this. Often those who are offended do not even realize that they are trapped in a satanic snare. They are oblivious to their trapped condition because They are so focused on the wrong that they feel that was done to them that they don't even realize that they are in denial about their own heart's condition. Think about a person's heart condition in order for them to carry an offense. That lets you know automatically that spiritual development isn't there, because you can't carry an offense and live in forgiveness at the same time. You follow me? Either one or the other takes place. So when someone is carrying an offense, they have fallen into the trap of a satanic snare, and they don't even realize it because they're holding on and focusing on the wrong that they feel that was done to them. And now they feel justified about how they feel, and now they don't even see their own heart's condition. Look at this. Look at the last paragraph before I stop sharing. The most effective way, you got to get this, the most effective way for the enemy to blind us is to cause us to focus on ourselves. I done lost half the church. You better hear me tonight. The most effective way for Satan, your enemy, to blind you is to cause you to focus on yourself. And watch this. Pride will keep you from admitting your true heart condition. Pride causes you to view yourself as a victim. And because you believe that you are innocent and you were done wrong, you hold back forgiveness. What? And watch this. Though your true heart condition is hidden from you, it is not hidden from God. Just because you may have been mistreated. What did I say? Just because you may have been mistreated and done wrong, listen, you do not have permission from God to hold on to an offense. Glory to God. Because two wrongs don't make a right. All right. I wanted you to see that. I wanted you to see that. That was so important for you to see tonight. Because as we dive off into this, I want to point out some things and walk you through some things and make you aware of how deadly becoming offended is, and how it stifles and hinders spiritual development. It will cripple your spiritual walk, and it will rob you of your potential in God. That's why our subject title is Becoming Offended Will Rob You of God's Best. Now, look back at Luke 17. Watch this. We're going to walk through this now. And he says, Then said he, Jesus, unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. Meaning, the possibility of an opportunity for you and I to become offended will take place. It will take place. But now we're the ones who determine how we respond. We can become offended, or we can develop ourselves spiritually and resist the temptation to become offended. And we will choose not to carry the offense. We will walk in forgiveness and know how to cover others and take authority over the adversary. Glory to God. So that we can walk in a level and in a measure of an anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. And even if that yoke is a yoke of offense, the anointing destroys yokes and removes the burdens that becoming offended can cause. And I'm going to say this again. A lot of people think it's all right to carry stuff. What do we say offenses was? To be upset. There's a lot of people, a lot of Christians, who think it's all right to carry upset feelings on the inside of them. Well, wait a minute. The Holy Ghost is in you. Is the Holy Ghost upset at the same thing you become upset at? Is the Holy Ghost annoyed at the same thing you're annoyed at? Does the Holy Ghost resent the same things you resent? There's a lot of things we're doing, and we're overriding the Holy Spirit's influence in our lives. So now, if you can't even listen to the Holy Ghost when he's telling you not to become offended at somebody, how can you listen to the Holy Ghost when he's directing you to your place of victory? This is how detrimental offense is. Look at this. I got to get through this verse. It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. He says, verse 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So God deals with a person who causes hurt, harm, injury, danger, disrespect, dishonor to any one of his children. Wow. This was the good news for me, and I had to learn it because a lot of times I thought that I had to defend myself. And then I remember the time God told me, says, Mark, if you're going to be your own avenger, then you don't need me. I said, huh? He said, because you feel like you can do it better than me, that you're going to defend yourself and you're going to give people, you're going to tell people a piece of your mind. You're going to put them in their place and you want to see them respond. He said, since you believe that you can handle it, that I'm going to step back and I'm not going to defend you. I'm going to let you defend you. I said, oh, no, God, we don't want that. No, 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 no. We don't want that. He said, then let me do it. He said, Mark, my vengeance is this. Listen, dear hearts. God said, my vengeance is this. I already promised you that I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So I keep those people around who did you wrong. I keep them around long enough to see how I elevate you, promote you, how I prosper you, how I empower you. I keep them around to see so they can see how I bless you. And then a conviction comes on them that they'll begin to carry that they had wished that they had never done anything wrong to you. That they wished that they had never put their mouth on you. They wished that they had never thought wrong about you because you're the very one that they're going to need you to pray for. He says, son, didn't I do that with Job? Job's friends thought they were justified to tell Job about himself, to put Job down, to make him feel small. But Job was the very one who got the double, not his friends. Job got the double in the midst of his friends. He said, see, Mark, I prepared a table before him in the presence of his haters. And then I told those friends they have to go have Job pray for them so that what's supposed to come on them won't happen. I said, glory to God. Look at this. And so, verse 2 again. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. And that's what we're learning to do in this teaching. Take heed to yourself. In other words, become prepared and not give in to offense. Don't let the possibility and the temptation to become offended, don't you fall for the bait. Don't fall for the snare. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Now that word rebuke there doesn't talk about putting him down. It means you correct him. But you're not belittling them because the Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good. That's Ephesians 4:29. But that which is good to the use of edifying, so that those that hear you speak, that they will receive grace and be ministered grace to them. So when that word rebuke there is not to put them down, it's to correct them. But at the same time, you're building them up. You're empowering them. And he said, but you're going to be in a position to forgive. Y'all always hear me talk about living by the three Q's. Remember I say the three Q's? I say be quick to forgive, be quick to repent, and be quick to believe God. The three Q's. But again, many Christians think it's all right to carry an offense. They think that's normal. And nowhere do you find that in the Bible. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Can you see that God placed the importance of walking in forgiveness? How often do people carry stuff and they live in the same house? They carry stuff, live in the same house. They hold things against one another, being in the same family. Hold things against one another, going to the same church. Hold things against one another, working on the same job, going to the same place of employment. All these different things. Are you following me? And the believer think that there's nothing wrong with me carrying it because I feel justified. That's your pride talking. That's not the Holy Ghost telling you that. That's your selfishness. Looking out for me, myself, and I. Stay with me. I know it's tight, but it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Let me show you this. Let me show you something. It is an unfortunate fact that many people are offended and they become captive in Satan's snare. Look at this. Go with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 5, after Jesus was training his disciples and told them all of that, you know what their response was? They said, Lord, increase our faith. They asked for God to increase their faith to live like this. See, a lot of times we think that faith is just for cash. Faith is for cars. Faith is for clothes. Faith is for a crib. Faith is for a career. No. Faith is for how to live a covenant life so that you can see covenant demonstrations from God. All right. You have to understand that this state of becoming offended have handicapped and hindered many Christians from fulfilling their full potential. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 11. I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. Verse 11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. Well, one of his devices is to cause you to become offended. And see, he wants, I mentioned this last week, Satan tries to offend you in order to wound your soul. Put that down in your notes. Come on, put that down in your notes. Satan tries to offend you in order to wound your soul. Now, you have to understand, see, if you're going to carry an offense, guess where you're carrying that offense at? In your soul. You remember this scripture? Third John 2, where it says from the King James Bible, beloved, I wish above all things, the Amplified Classic says, I pray above all things, but beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So if my soul isn't prospering, it affects my health. If my soul isn't prospering, it affects my provision. It affects my needs being met. And Satan tries to get you to become offended so he can wound your soul. He wants you carrying the wound. He wants you not only carrying the wound, he wants you to carry that victim image, that victim perspective. He wants you to walk around and be a victim and not a victor. And then when you see the person who you feel like has wronged you or didn't do something, he wants you to always have that inner feeling of being upset, and he wants you to bury it on the inside of you. Watch this. And if you bury hurt feelings on the inside, you also affect you yielding to the Holy Spirit on the inside. Okay. He says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. The NIV of this same verse, the NIV says this, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. It's his scheme. He would easily want me to become offended at Cheryl. Because now, if he can sever or divide our faith agreement, now we don't have agreement in the house. So now God can't honor our agreement because we're divided. Satan would want Cheryl to become offended at me. Now, why? I'm not just her husband, I'm her pastor. So now if she carries this offense on the inside, she won't be able to receive from God through her spiritual leader. So now her spiritual growth and development is affected. The relationship with her husband is affected. The relationship with her health, her mental well-being is affected. Now Cheryl will be susceptible to a defeated lifestyle. Can you see how serious this thing is? He wants you to become offended. I said this to them last week, that your righteousness is robbed when you become offended. Your right to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy is robbed when you are offended. Your blessings are robbed when you become offended. And I already mentioned 3 John 2. So now you're disqualified from the manifestation and the demonstration of 3 John 2 when you become offended. Again, what's our subject title? Becoming offended will rob you of God's best. Now, you have to understand that it is the will of God for every believer. What did I say? It is the will of God for every believer to become free from offense. Jesus already said that it is impossible to live in this life, to live in this world, and offenses or the temptation to become offended doesn't come and present itself. It will. Although you may have the opportunity to become offended, you don't have to take it. So now go to Psalms 119. We looked at this last week. We're going to look at it again. Psalms 119. Come on, quickly. Quickly for time's sake. Psalms 119, verse 165. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. Psalms 119, verse 165. From the King James, it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What? So when he was training me and teaching me, he said, Mark, nothing shall offend you. And I had to look at that. I had to look at it through the closest ones to me. My wife, my children. And at this time, we didn't have as many grandchildren as we have now. Now we have 13, but I think at that time we may have only had two. Maybe just one. And he's teaching me this, how to walk at this in another level. Look at this verse again. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now listen, the closer the relationship you have with someone, the more severe the offense. Let me say that again. The closer the relationship, the more severe the offense. Why? You expect more from those who are the closest to you because you've given yourself to them. And since you expect more for them, the greater you can become offended at them. The higher the expectation, the greater the sting of the offense. So the adversary, I used to always say it like this, the adversary wants to get two for one. He's not just after one person, he wants to use one person to get two people. And so, let's look at this. We can divide all offended people into two major categories. Y'all ready? Are you with me? We can divide all offended people into two major categories. Here are the categories. Number one, category number one. This person will be, these are the people who become offended. Those who have been treated unjustly. They'll become offended at what was done, what was said, offended at the person. Those who have been treated unjustly. That's category number one. Category number two. Those who believe that they have been treated unjustly. Doesn't make a difference if they've been deceived because they believe that they have been treated unjustly. They believe that somebody didn't meet their expectation. They become offended at that individual. So you have to understand. And remember what I said, the closer the relationship, the greater the offense. You have to understand how to not have expectations over people so that you don't be let down, but that you can cover them in love. Remember, I had you look at this on the PowerPoint. I said, one way the enemy keeps a person in an offended state, in an offended place, is to keep the offense hidden. And the way he keeps it hidden is he cloak it with pride, so this person thinks about themselves. And pride keeps you from admitting your true heart condition. Listen. Even those who have been treated unjustly. Go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Watch this. Those who have been treated unjustly. The Bible tells us how to act. It does not give us a license or a right to carry an offense and to hold back forgiveness to another person. It is not the will of God for you and I to carry unforgiveness. And anytime you carry an offense, you're walking in unforgiveness. Because forgiveness releases. It releases the person who you believe did you wrong. It releases you from the wrong. Are you following me? And it releases the wrong act from you and you put it under the blood of Jesus. That's the power of forgiveness. It releases the person who you feel wronged you. It releases you from their wrong act. So now you can continue moving on with your life. And it releases the wrong act from your heart, from your life. But to carry an offense, to hold on. Let's look at our definition before I read Matthew 5. Let's look at our definitions of offense. We said offense means to feel upset. to hold on to feeling upset, even though you know God says he wants you to forgive. You're choosing to hold on. That means that you're choosing now to walk in unforgiveness. And now you have allowed the adversary to get you and the other person you're upset at. So now the adversary can use your spiritual authority as a Christian against that individual to attack them, all because you're holding something against them. This is the satanic snare that many Christians don't realize. All right? We said that the word offense means to be annoyed. You're holding on to being annoyed at someone because of something they did, something you don't like that they did. They didn't meet your expectation. You're upset at them. You're annoyed at them. You're tired of them always coming up short and not doing a better job. So now, watch this. You have graded them and you did not release grace to them. You have passed a grade on another individual who Jesus died for and shed his blood for, and you didn't die for him, but now you're going to grade them. And now you're going to be annoyed at them because you feel like they've come up short. You feel like they didn't do a good job. You feel like they didn't meet your expectation. Even though the Bible says, for all have sinned. It didn't say y'all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's look at another definition of offense. Being displeased. Displeased. You know, when Cheryl and I first got married, and for a long time in our marriage, I can't speak for her. All I can do is speak for me. Man, I never wanted her to be displeased with me. So I'm jumping through hoops, sometimes feeling like I'm walking on eggshells. Well, she didn't know that. And she didn't know I was in that state. Watch this. The adversary was putting a cloak on my mind, causing me now to filter my relationship through that dark cloud. Cheryl didn't say that to me, but I'm thinking it that way. I'm processing the relationship that way. And now I'm hearing these thoughts all the time. She's displeased with you. Look at her body language. She's displeased with you. Look at her facial expression. She's displeased with you. Look at how she's not responding to you. She's displeased with you. And now the adversary contaminates my self-image and say, you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You're not good enough. I mean, and if you're not good enough for the woman you made your wife, then how can you be good enough for the God you've given your life to? I mean, he just plays these games with you. And I'm wanting you to understand that we have to be free. I could have easily walked free of that and understand that Satan was trying to wound my soul, but I didn't know that. And listen, and it caused us many problems. Caused us many problems. Thank God we overcame them. Thank God, glory to God, that after 41 years of marriage, the marriage isn't damaged. That it's not. No, thank God, because God told me many, many years ago, he says, if you do it my way, I'll show you how to be married like I want, how to enjoy your marriage, and if you give me your marriage, I'll use your marriage as an example to others. And he did exactly what he said. Okay, where did I tell you to go? Matthew 5? Come on. Come on, Mark. We're running out of time. Matthew 5. Watch this. Now, this was worth your connecting tonight. this was worth your connecting. Okay. Help me, Holy Ghost. Watch this, my brothers and sisters. Let's look at, glory to God, I'm not finding my place. One moment. That's my fault. That is my fault. But we're going to fix this day because I want y'all to see this. Okay, look at verse 44. Look at verse 44, Matthew 5, verse 44. All right. It says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Now stop. Love your enemies. Love those that do you wrong. He's not talking about have a warm feeling for them. No, that's not what he's talking about. Listen, I said this to him last week. I want to say it again tonight. Many years ago when I came to the things of God, this international evangelist gave me a clear definition of the word love. Now, since I've grown in the things of God, I know that that word love means to commit to someone. But I like his definition. His definition is choosing the highest good for another person, even at your own expense. Choosing the highest good for another person, even at your own expense. So, in the early years of me and Cheryl's marriage, I started wanting to, you know, live like that. But then I become offended because I'm saying, how am I? I'm doing this, but Cheryl not doing this. You see, that was my selfishness and my pride talking. The adversary was cloaking my mind to wound my soul so he can get two for one. So when it says love your enemies, it's not talking about having a warm feeling. Love your enemies, love your haters. It's choose the highest good for them. Watch this. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. How will you be able to bless them if you're holding on to the offense that they've caused you to have? If you hold on to becoming offended at them talking to you wrong, how will you be able to bless them? You won't. I'm going to say this again. On one hand, you have the choice to become offended. On the other hand, you have the other choice to walk in forgiveness and release it so you can walk in the power of God. We've already read that God covers his children. He already said, woe unto the person who brings an offense against my little ones. Woe unto that person who hurts them. Woe unto them. And I told you again that the vengeance of God is not God doing your enemy or doing your hater or doing that person who did you wrong. The vengeance of God is not God sending fire and brimstone upon them right away so you can see them burn. The vengeance of God is he prepares a table before me in their presence and he raises me up and he keeps them around so they can see how God blesses me. And that action causes a conviction upon them to where they will wish that they had never done anything to you. They will wish they had never said anything about you because now they're going to need you. There are some people, man, who did me wrong, who need me in their lives. And I had to get to the place where I could operate that place operate in that place from this place of love. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Look what it says. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why am I going to do all of this? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Notice God causes something to happen to them, an impact, an influence, whether it's the sun, whether it's the rain. And he says, now, you be the children of your Father. You got to understand, as you are a spirit being, and you cause natural experiences to take place. And then it says, for Look at verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? What reward would you get? You're going to love those who love you. He says, there ain't no reward in that. He said, because do not even the publicans do the same thing? Those sinners, those people in the world who don't have a covenant with God, don't they act that same kind of way? He says, you don't need no power of God for that. You don't need no faith in God for that. So we have to learn how to operate this place. Okay, let me show you a little bit more. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Glory to God. There was another scripture I wanted y'all to see. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's look at this. Glory to God. The adversary wants you to become offended. He wants you to allow the offense to wound you. All right. Look at this. We got 5 more minutes. Can you handle 5 minutes? Look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. So he was dealing with that in that particular church. But look at the end of the verse. He says, knowledge puffs up. But in the King James, charity edifies. Or knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. The word edifies means to love. So I want to encourage you with this. Learn to love others, not based on performance, not based on their performance, not based on if that person meets your expectation. Learn to love others, not based on if the person loves you back like you want to be loved. Learn to develop faith in the love of God. Let me ask you this question. How often do you see it as a failure when the love you give out to a person isn't returned back from that person? If you see that as a failure, if you see that as something to become offended at, then that means you don't have faith in the love of God. Because let me just quote the scripture for you. You don't have to turn there. Galatians chapter 6. What is it? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, love, that shall he also reap. So when you really believe that, then it's not giving love out or giving good deeds out to a person, and then you say, well, it's not being returned back to me. I understand the principle. When I give it out, it has to come back because I got faith in the love of God. God is not going to let me down. Have you ever considered that you were possibly operating with a selfish love? Think with me. Have you ever considered that you are possibly operating with a selfish love? How do I know, Pastor Mark? I'm glad you asked. A selfish love is easily disappointed when your expectations are not met. Put it down in your notes. A selfish love is easily disappointed when your expectations are not met. A selfish love holds another person hostage because of they're not meeting the grade that you put out on the inside you have about them or what you want them to do. You're the one who's determining if it's good enough or not. That's a selfish love. A selfish love, when it gives something out, it expects it, okay, now you got to give it back to me. That's a selfish love. That's not operating in the love of God. So if we don't, tonight, my point is, if we don't deal with becoming offended, we're opening the door for the adversary to produce more fruit from the sin of offense and the sin of unforgiveness in our lives. It's going to hinder our healing. It's going to hinder us from doing more in the kingdom of God. It's going to hinder us from tapping into our potential in the kingdom of God. It's going to hinder us from being promoted by God. It's going to hinder us from influencing others with the power of God. See, you can be nice and yet lack power. You follow me? And it's going to open a door for bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, and resentment to operate in your heart and in your life. Let's look at one more thing, and then we'll wrap it up for tonight. The adversary wants you to become offended so that you can become wounded. Go with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8. Look at this, Proverbs chapter 8. And I want you to build yourself up to resist becoming offended. Know that God got you covered. You don't lose doing it God's way. You don't lose doing it. I want to recommend a good book, which is The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. Many, many years ago, I got that book, read it, taught it at the church, taught some of the principles at the church on not becoming offended. I think this had to be probably 20 years ago. And now I'm looking for my book. I want to pull some things from it. Some things I've shared with you already were from some of the notes from that book, but I want to pull out my book again. And then I even sold it into two other pastors. I purchased a book for them and sent it to them this week, one last week, one this week. I want to be a blessing to them because in coming out of this year and going into the new year, you're going to have to build your spirit up not to give in to offense. Not to give in to offense. Man, there was something. I'm out of time. Let me see this. There was something I want to show you. I know I got you at Proverbs 8, right? Wait a minute. Man, there was something you got to see. Glory to God. About the last days. And you will really, really, this will really impact you. Praise the Lord. If I don't have it, we'll just have to pick it up next time. Glory to God. Okay, look at Proverbs 8. You're going to have to guard your heart, dear hearts, to not become offended. Live by the three Q's. Be quick to forgive, be quick to repent, be quick to believe God. Okay, Proverbs 8. I'm chasing rabbits, looking at other scriptures. Glory to God. Okay, look at this verse number 14. That's not right. That is not right. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. No. I wrote the wrong reference. But I'm not going to be denied. It's Proverbs 18. That's my fault. Proverbs 18, verse 14. Proverbs 18, verse 14. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? The adversary sends offense to wound you. He wants you to become wounded. He wants you to become wounded in relationships, wants you to become wounded in your self-image. So he wants you to see yourself as a victim. He wants you to become wounded in your potential, so you can always see yourself coming up short. So he wants you to become offended at God. He wants you to become offended at God when you've prayed for something and didn't come to pass yet. He wants you to become offended because someone else seems to be getting manifestations and you're not. He wants you to become offended because other people are giving and they've gave and they've sown financial seed and they're getting their harvest back and your harvest has not even shown up. He wants you to become offended. The adversary wants to send offense to wound your spirit. And look what the Bible says. Proverbs 18, 14, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Another translation talks about that the spirit of the man will hold in this infirmity, this wound. He'll hold it in. A wounded spirit, who can bear? And you don't want to be wounded. He's going to wound you through your soul. One more scripture, Proverbs 17. Look at 17. Watch what will happen. Verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit or a wounded spirit, look at this, drieth the bones. It has an effect on the moisture in your joints, in your limbs. This is how serious becoming offended is. It can open the door for arthritis. It can open the door for rheumatoid arthritis. It can open the door for forms of paralysis. It affects your mobility in your joints, becoming offended. He wants you to carry the offense so your soul will be wounded. But somebody say, the devil is a liar. Glory to God. All right. So let's end tonight with this prayer. Let's end tonight with this prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we're just going to simply ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us areas in our lives where we have opened ourselves up to become offended. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to also reveal hidden areas in our heart where we're still carrying offense, still carrying issues and stuff that has occurred to us. Because you're around imperfect people, and imperfect people do imperfect things. But that does not give you the justification to walk in unforgiveness. It does not give you the justification to carry an offense, to hold on to something that upset you, to hold on to something that you may have deemed it bothered you. You with me? Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, I just pray that through this teaching that you will minister to your people and first and foremost, bring healing where healing is needed. And then, Father, we want deliverance from being offended. Deliver us from being susceptible to carrying offenses, to holding on to things, and not walking in forgiveness as fast and as quick as we should. Now, repeat this after me, everyone. Say, Father God, I ask that you would reveal by your Spirit your word to me as I listen to this teaching. I ask for you to expose any hidden areas of my heart where I have allowed offense to remain and dwell. Father, expose any areas of my heart that have hindered me from knowing you more and serving you more effectively in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come on. I give you permission to reveal to me when I am given in to becoming offended. I welcome the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I ask for your grace to carry out what you desire of me. By faith, I apply the blood of Jesus. Come on. To any wound in my soul or in my heart that I have carried because of being done wrong. I receive my healing by the blood of Jesus. And by faith, I receive deliverance from being easily offended in Jesus' name. Now just lift your hands right where you are in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask that your presence rest on us. And that you'll do a work in us. You'll do a work upon us. In the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone's mind, their will, their emotions, their memory, their imagination in Jesus' name. I apply the blood of Jesus to their hearts, to their conscience, to their very lives in the name of Jesus. Do what you said in Psalm 23. I'm asking you to restore their souls in the name of Jesus, so that they will not carry offense, they will not carry wounds, they will not carry insults, they will not carry disrespect, they will not carry dishonor.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God, and you will never be the same again.